Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the mighty Hot 102.7, and it is so good to be with you this morning. I hope that you're all well. I hope that you're all dry and that you haven't been harmed by these extreme weather conditions. I do wonder how your first few days of Lent have been. Let's remember the need to give without telling people what we're doing, to pray and to fast. Today I'm going to look at the temptations of Jesus and what they might mean to us, especially on this Lenten journey. But let's start first in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 26. That chapter is entitled First Fruits and Tithes. When you've entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people, and he lived there, and it became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voices and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. Keeping this in mind, that we are going to be looking at the temptations of Jesus in a little while, why do you think that this reading needs to be read now? And why is this reading being read in Lent, on this the first Sunday of Lent? And a few things immediately spring to mind for me. When we look at temptations, maybe the temptation would be for the people of Israel to keep those first fruits, the first harvest for themselves. God is about to give them this amazing gift of a land flowing with milk and honey, and suddenly they've got plenty. Maybe the temptation is to keep it, especially for the first month. Let's just keep some in reserve. Make sure that we have some. If we think of our own lives, especially if we tithe, when we have plenty, do we say, okay, I'll give a little bit more to God? Or do we say, well, actually, I'm going to use this for myself? And there's no judgment here. I'm just saying, let's just think about it. And maybe you're having a really bad month. Is the temptation to keep your tithe back because you need it? And again, I'm saying there's no right or wrong answer to this, except for that we are called to give our first fruits to God. We are called to tithe. We are called to give things to God because everything we have comes from God. So maybe that's why this is in this on the first Sunday of Lent about temptations, because there is a temptation not to give what we should to God. And why this reading today? Traditionally, it's thought that Deuteronomy was written by Moses. In fact, that the first five books of the Bible are written by Moses. But because of the different styles of writing, it's debated by scholars, and they don't think that is true. But whoever wrote it, they're reflecting back over the past and sharing how much God has blessed God's people. So at this time in Lent, I believe that we call to pause and reflect back over the last year, back over our lives, and see what God has done for us, where God has protected us, where God has brought us to a place of blessing, where God has brought us to a place of plenty. Just reflect back and see what God has done in your life. And then from a place of gratitude, come before God. I reflect back and see how God has brought me out of trouble and how blessed I am. So I think we need to spend that time on this, the first Sunday of Lent, going back into the past, just reflecting back and perhaps jotting it down. I'm going to do that now. Just jot down those things that God has done for me, especially in this last year. And I'm always amazed when I do this exercise how much God has blessed. And so I hope that that is true for you too, that you will be able to see God's hand of blessing and protection over you. Coming up now on the Mighty Hot 102.7, Guide Me, O Thy Great Redeemer.
Sunrise with Shona.
on Hot 1027.
Guide me, O thou great Redeemer, on the Mighty Heart 1027. Good morning. You're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church. And it's so good to be with you on this, the first Sunday of Lent. I've started by looking at Deuteronomy and the instruction for the Israelites to give their first fruits to God when they get to their land of milk and honey, and a reminder for them of how much God has done for them. As the writer of Deuteronomy goes back in history and how the Israelites had moved to Egypt, how the Egyptians treated them badly, how God brought them out of that land. I have suggested that we reflect back over our own lives and count our blessings and respond to God from that place of gratitude. I'm going to move now into Psalm 91, and I'm reading verses 1 to 2 and 9 to 16. It is a psalm of protection, of God's protection over us. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. If you say the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, you will trample the great lion and the serpent, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, I don't know what the psalm says to you, but for me it's one of my favorites. Whenever I feel stressed by what's going on in the world or our country, whenever I feel that things aren't quite right, I go back to the psalm because it reminds me of how much God loves us and how God is our refuge, our shelter, our safety, and even God's angels protect us. When we talk about angels, some people will think that that's ridiculous, that that's fairy stories, but God's angels are real. I've seen it for myself. They do exist, and I have absolutely no doubt about how real God's angels are. My own child, and I've shared the story before, when she was sick with a fever, she had tonsillitis over and over again. The one night I was in a place where I just couldn't take it anymore because she used to sleep next to me and I could feel if her temperature was going up, and I'd give her the medicine I needed to. And it was again midnight and I said, God, I just can't. I'm absolutely exhausted and here's this fever spiking again. And with that, my child put her hand out of the bed and I said to her, it's winter, please, it's freezing cold. And she said, Mom, I'm holding the man's hand. And I believe that that was an angel who visited her, because I said, you know, what does he look like? And she said, he's a big man. I said, are you frightened? She said, no. And her fever dropped and I was able to sleep. And I truly believe that God sent an angel to minister healing to my child, because I was at a place where I couldn't. And there are so many other stories, so many other testimonies of people who've experienced angels. I don't have time to share them. I wish I did. But you can go and read up on them. People experience angels in many different ways. And so I do believe that God sends God's angels to protect us. Moving on now to Paul's letter to the church, well, to the Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 to 21. And I'm going to go through it bit by bit. But what does it say, we're told? The word is near you, it's in your mouth and in your heart. God's living word is in our hearts and our mouth. And we must never underestimate the power of God's words. I've said it before, our words carry power. God's words carry extreme power. And so we must never underestimate that power. And in fact, it's the power of God's word that Jesus uses to make sure that he doesn't give in to any of the temptations. It goes on to say, that is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When I was in training, I had a rector who used to say to me, if you can say Jesus is Lord, then the Spirit of God is within you and that you know you're right with God. So I would say to you, let's say it out aloud, Jesus is Lord. If we're able to say that, then that's okay. If we can't say that, we probably need to consult someone because something's not quite right. But when we are able to say without any doubt, Jesus is Lord, then we are told we are saved. For it is with your heart, we're told, that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. I've always said that the relationship with God is one of the heart. God wants our hearts first, long before our heads. God wants us to be a heart relationship where we desire to be in communion with God, where we love God with our whole hearts. And this reading of Paul to the Romans today confirms that for us. As the scripture says, verse 11, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that wonderful? We've got these two things, the psalm and this letter of Paul to the Romans, both reassuring of us of how protection our shelter is in God. If we call on the name of the Lord, if we just say Jesus is Lord, God is our refuge, God is our shelter, and no harm shall befall us. And so as we reflect on that now, coming up now on the Mighty Hot 1027, Spirit of the Living God.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 1027.
Spirit of the Living God on the Mighty Hot 1027, good morning. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona. And this morning I've looked at Deuteronomy, the call on us to be grateful and generous to God because of all God has done for us, and how we need to respond to God from that place, that heart of gratitude. I've looked at how our protection, our shelter is in God. In both the psalm and Paul's letter to the Romans, we're reassured of God our protector, God our shelter. God is there for us. God will even command his angels concerning us to ensure our safety. I'm going to move now, as I promised, into the gospel and the temptations of Jesus. So let's look at Luke chapter 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, we are told, left the Jordan. So he's just been baptized. He leaves the Jordan and is led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness, where for 40 days he's tempted by the devil. He eats nothing during these days, and at the end of the time, he's hungry. Just stop there for a moment. 40 days. And we have 40 days of fasting, of prayer, of giving alms during Lent. I've told you before that there are 46 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter Sunday. But the reason we say the fast is 40 days is that the Sundays are feast days. So now Jesus is there for 40 days, and the devil says to him, if you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread. That's the first thing the devil says to him. The second is, if you worship me, it will all be yours. And the third, if you are the Son of God, notice the words, if you are, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, God will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. Remind you of the psalm? And those angels will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Obviously, that also comes from Psalm 91. Every time Jesus answers with the word of God. And I'm going to go through those responses in a moment. But I want to say that the temptations challenge the very identity, vocation, and heart of Jesus. He's able to withstand those temptations because he uses the word of God, and that is how he withstands them. I also want to note that at his baptism, that voice from heaven proclaims, you are my son whom I love, with you I'm well pleased. When we look at the devil's words, if you are the Son of God, casting doubt on what God has said. The devil is directly challenging Jesus' sonship, and for me, the very essence of who Jesus is and was. So let's look at each one now. If you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread. Jesus answers, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. I just want to re-emphasize the importance of knowing scripture, because that's how Jesus resists all these temptations. But the temptation here for me is the misuse of God's power for himself. So he's been tempted to use the power that God has given him for himself. I wonder if we would have been able to resist that temptation. And I wonder how we use the power that God has given us, because all of us have power. Do we use it for ourselves, or do we use it for the good of others? The second one, the devil then leads him up to a high place, shows him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he says to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It's been given to me. I can give it to anyone I want. If you worship me, it will be yours. And Jesus says, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I would call this selling out one's soul for material gain. In our country, corruption is rife. We need to make sure that we're not part of that corruption, that we stand firm against it and don't sell out our souls for material gain. Verse 9, the devil then leads him to Jerusalem, has him stand on the highest point of the temple and says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands, so you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answers, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. I think we need to make sure that we value this life and the gifts that God has given us, and not test God. Someone said to me, isn't throwing a fleece before God testing God? No, it's not. It's asking God to give you direction. Throwing that fleece before God is asking for discernment so that you do the right thing. It's not putting your life in danger. There's a very difference, a very big difference between putting your life in danger and asking God to show you what God's will is for your life. This for me would be putting your life in danger deliberately and saying, God, you promised you'd protect me, so please protect me. We just need to be careful of that. And then lastly, there's a warning. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left until an opportune time. He didn't leave and leave Jesus completely. He left until another time when he could come and tempt Jesus. We need to every single day pray for protection and never stop, because evil does not sleep. And so every single morning, I pray for protection for myself, for the household, for my husband, for my children, and for their partners and spouses, and for all sorts of things, for the church. I pray protection over everything because I know that the devil does not sleep, and we need to make sure that we are protected in God. Now, just as an aside, I wonder how you understand your baptism and your discipleship. In what way do the issues reflected in this gospel reading help you to identify your own temptations? Always say go through it and see what speaks to you or what niggles. Then you know where you need to ask God to allow God's Spirit to work within you and bring healing. Jesus was led into that wilderness by the Holy Spirit. What role do you allow the Holy Spirit to lead to play in your life? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in your life, in your vocation, in what you're doing for God? Are you open to the Holy Spirit's leading? I'm sure Jesus, straight off that baptism, didn't actually want to go into the wilderness, but he was led there by the Spirit and he was obedient. I wonder what you feel you need to overcome to be faithful to your Christian vocation as a disciple. And if there is something, are you willing to just open it up to God and say, God, help me with this? Please, through the power of your Holy Spirit, help me with this so that I can overcome this, so that I can more faithfully and more fully serve you and move more powerfully in your Spirit. As we think about those questions coming up now in the Mighty Hot 1027, all over the world, the Spirit is moving and in Christ alone. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you have a great week, a wonderful Sunday, and whatever you've chosen to do this Lent, I pray that God will bless you in it.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.